Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Overnight, Hurricane Helene barrels into Florida as a Category 4 storm, the most powerful to ever strike the state's Big Bend region. The hurricane packing life-threatening storm surge, driving rain and 140-mile-per-hour winds.
Oh my goodness, as we were watching this last night and watching it approach the coast in the Big Bend area, which is, you know, it, actually, if anything, it went a little farther east of where we were expecting it to go. But, you know, right up the Big Bend and east of Tallahassee and then on into Georgia, it was 100. And I was watching it was 100 and, you know, then it was 130 and it was category three and then it was category four and it was 140 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And it was still quite a ways out from shore at 140 last night at 7 o'clock. And I was like, is this going to even be to a category five? And it did not. It did not get faster than that, but it made landfall at 140 miles an hour, a strong, incredibly strong Category 4 storm, the strongest ever to hit that part of Florida. And then it pushed on. As remember, I was telling you yesterday that one of the strange things about this storm was that it was going to be moving so fast that it was going to continue on into Georgia as a hurricane. And it had eventually, once it got over the border north of Valdosta, it started to be more into like 70 mile an hour. And it's now, you know, down to 70 miles an hour now as a tropical storm. But I mean, it hit Georgia as a hurricane. And so the flooding in Georgia, I'm sure, is going to be bad. The rain in Georgia is going to be bad. The wind in Georgia, not really something that they're all that accustomed to. And then it's going to push all the way up and then bend west and go to Nashville, where it's going to kind of loiter and circle around. And, you know, I have relatives in Nashville. I'm concerned about Nashville because, John, you and I were talking about this yesterday. Nashville's not built for flooding. They're not.
No, it's not.
They have no infrastructure to handle massive rainfall, which is why you had the big flood there that, you know, took out, you know, strongly affected the Grand Ole Opry several years ago and killed some people, if I'm not mistaken. People getting stuck in the highway in flooding areas because it's just not designed to handle this.
No, not at all, because I was there during when they had one of the big storms. We went to a concert. But it got canceled, and so we're driving back on the interstate that's high up, and we are just trudging through water that just, I'm like, it has no place to go, and we're a couple layers up on the interstate.
And you can, and it's just kind of weird, because when you have a place that, you know, when you don't build something for that kind of rainfall, because it's so unusual, you don't. It's not prepared for that, and you might think, oh my God, how can this happen? Well, it can happen. It's, I was looking up 2010. They had floods in Middle Tennessee, killed at least 10 people.
And I think that flooded out the Gaylord, too.
Yeah, that's right. It did. Mm-hmm. You're right about that. I remember that. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you had that kind of weird sudden flooding. I remember I was actually going to a Cardinals game in St. Louis one time and driving across the Mississippi. And I knew it was heavy rain, and it looked like a traffic backup. And there's, if you really know the local area, there's some ways you can kind of avoid the interstate and go around on a couple of other roads. You still have to cross on a bridge, but kind of go around. I literally drove around the backup, and on an overpass, I remember I was on Route 3 going over I-55. I think it was 55, one of the interstates. It might have been 70. Anyway, and I was going over it, watching cars down below stuck in the mud and the water. In an underpass part where it's a little low-lying, you know? And golly, you know, just the craziness. So I'm actually a little bit more worried about what's going to happen when this storm hangs out over Nashville for quite some time and brings a lot of the rain there, because Georgia, it's just, I mean, it's going to be terrible. We have reports of 3 deaths so far in connection with the storm. 1 in Florida. You had in Tampa, as you heard David mention just a minute ago, there was a falling sign that struck a car. And then in Georgia, in Wheeler County, you had a mobile home that was tossed around by the winds because, you know, strong winds, 100-plus miles an hour, and, you know, blowing things across the road and I'm sure doing tremendous damage. Something like 2 million people, 3 million people are without power across the area. you know, South Carolina included, by the way. Georgia's, the last report we got as of about 45 minutes ago is that Georgia had 650,000 out of power, 240,000 out of power in South Carolina already. And then, you know, Florida, maybe 2 million without power. So, again, the only minor note of it's not as bad is that it went through an area of the state that's pretty, you know, not dense population, pretty sparse population. But, man, unbelievable. And on top of all that, I mean, just, you know, the things you don't maybe think about, but it's peanut harvest time. And so with these massive rains, massive wind, you're going to have, I'm sure, huge amounts of the peanut crop is going to have been destroyed. And as you know, because we talk to, Ryan Jenkins all the time, you know, a lot of farmers are still reeling from an extraordinarily bad year last year. And so this is going to wipe out their farms. This is going to wipe out livelihoods. That's going to, you know, I mean, they have some insurance, but it's not enough. And if you're already in a hole that's going to take you a decade to dig out of, and then you get a hurricane like this, take out your, I mean, there are, you know, really horrible things that are going to happen because of this storm. 516 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, of course, our local folks have gone there and are going to be going there. And, you know, even yesterday our EOC here was helping out in, you know, Tallahassee. I mean, we kind of had a little bit of fun talking about the weird announcement that apparently was well known in the emergency management community that the EOC in Tallahassee was not built to handle a Category 5 storm. It did not hit Tallahassee directly. I mean, it kind of went east of there. But, you know, that's, you know, it's a joke until roofs fall in, until people die. You know, like it's kind of funny, ha-ha, you know, but really serious things. 516 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Parrish packages are back, and they're featuring the number one compact tractor in the United States, the Kubota L2502 with quick attach loader, Land Pride 6-foot cutter, and Land Pride 6-foot disc, all for $29,999 cash or as low as $385 a month. Doesn't include tax, fees, or insurance. Plus, you get a free pipe top trailer. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway. Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. 0% APR financing now through 9/30/24. See them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Bands on the Beach in October means the season is starting to wind down. Every Tuesday night at 7, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority, you've been able to enjoy great live music on Pensacola Beach. This week, the Blind Mullets take the stage. They're from Perdido Key, and they play everything from Lynyrd Skynyrd to Lenny Kravitz. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is today at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Love said alone in a boggy marsh.
the Dark Knight trilogy is a... I probably watch those not necessarily once a year, but, you know, that's a routine rewatch. God, The Dark Knight is a great movie. I mean, the scripting in that movie is just... Some Men Just Want to Watch the World Burn is a fantastic analysis of some people and how you cannot work with people who have no motivation that you can affect, right? You can't pay them off in money or pleasure or power or anything because... What they live for is the destruction. With them, and there are people like this. I mean, maybe they're not as far along as the Joker. That was his line too. Is, you know, I'm not a monster. I'm just ahead of the curve. There's so much good stuff in that movie about, you know, human nature and the nature of evil. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, the one-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attacks against Israel is coming up now in just over a week. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be in New York City today to address the UN General Assembly. Vice President Kamala Harris is scheduled to visit the southern border today. It'll be the first time since she became the Democratic nominee for president.
So this will be the second visit for the border czar. Right? She went one time. Because she had to after
that
she
was
the
what,
NBC
maybe
interview
a year
with Lester
after,
Holt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then now. So two times. Great. Expert.
Absolutely. And Rudy Giuliani has now been disbarred in Washington, D.C., a federal court making that move, apparently over efforts they say he took in January 2021 after former President Trump lost the election.
Yeah, I think this has to do... Oh, man, I hate saying stuff when I'm not 100% sure, but I think this all has to do with the idea that as an agent of the court, you're obligated to represent the truth, and if you engage in deceit to the court, that can wind up losing. I think that's the kind of the premise of the disbarment, if I remember correctly, but I haven't been following the Rudy Giuliani story particularly closely, but I think that's what's going on here. David, thanks so much for the update. 522 on News Radio 92.3. You know, I cover a lot of military and especially Navy news because it's a Navy town. This matters to us greatly. And we've had a lot of conversations about, you know, things that concern me, whether it's the Ospreys being safe or not, or whether it's the little crappy ship, the LCSs being a giant boondoggle, or the, you know, the Zumwalt class destroyer that we ordered three of in the end because it was so bad. I mean, just, you know, it was bad. And then we talked yesterday about how we had this oiler ship that ran aground over in the Middle East and, you know, took on water and is now out of commission. And so we do not have a refueling ship for the Abraham Lincoln Carrier Group, which is not a good thing. That's really, really bad because we just don't have very many of them. And the ones we have are quite a long ways away from there. So I know if you listen to the show, you know, we talk about F-35 procurement and the costs involved there. And of course, we talk about successes and how good the military is as well. You know, we do a lot of pro-military stuff, too. I just try to tell you all the news about the military so you have a good assessment. And I actually watched the really interesting sit down. It's kind of a forum, like an interview speech type event with Chief Naval Operations Fanchetti recently. I haven't played you that audio, but it's very concerning stuff. You know, where we are, where the Chinese are, what we're doing. Then you also get other stories. And this one's not about the United States military. This one's about our adversary military. The Chinese, who have more ships than we do, but as people who understand these things will remind you, yeah, but more isn't necessarily better. And, you know, lots of what the Chinese have is stolen technology. So, man, their most recent jet looks an awful lot like an F-35 if you just got a couple of things wrong. You know, why is that? So now the People's Liberation Army... It's funny to me that communists always name their stuff in that same dumb way. You know, like we say the People's Republic of Oregon. You know, I lived in Oregon for a while, and it's not wrong. It's a socialist semi-utopia. Not really at all. I mean, it's a nice place to live, just in spite of the government. But, you know, that they name the People's Liberation Army. Like, this is really, you know, how they name things. Anyway, the PLA Navy has had what you would describe as a minor mishap. They have been building submarines, and they have six nuclear-powered submarines, they have a handful of submarines. I think six was the number that, you know, their doctrine is to have one nuclear-capable sub out at sea at all times. One at all times. This is not great, but, you know, it's still more than zero that concerns us. They now have a new class of nuclear-powered attack submarine. Okay? So they've created their first in class nuclear attack submarine. And they had it moored up, pier side, getting ready to deploy. And it sank. No, it sank while moored pier side. Their first in class nuclear submarine isn't anymore. Because I don't know. I don't know what went wrong exactly, but the Defense Department says senior U.S. defense official, I'm sure this is on an anonymous background anyway, in addition to the obvious questions about training standards and equipment quality, the incident raises deeper questions about the PLA's internal accountability and oversight of China's defense industry, which has long been plagued by corruption. Really? In a communist country? I thought everybody, you know, pulled their weight and did their job, and everybody worked for the proletariat, and everybody was super happy wearing their same gray coats and eating their same gray food. I thought that communism always worked great in real life. You're telling me that a communist government would produce a submarine nuclear power that would, you know, sink just because it's sitting pier side? That seems weird compared to all the other things they do well. Anyway, so I say this because when we hear about all the horrible things that China is doing to build up and to threaten Taiwan and to, you know, expand its footprint in the South China Sea, and all of that's true. Okay, all that's true. But also keep in mind that the sub was made in China. I don't know that it had the little gold sticker on the side. You know, it probably still has the gold sticker on the side sitting at the bottom of the waterway there as they've got cranes in trying to haul it out and, I don't know, find pieces of it that they can use for some other purpose. But made in China to date still does not carry the mark of great high quality all the time. 527 on News Radio 92.3, the post office. How much does a stamp cost today, John? Do you know? When was the last time you had to buy stamps?
Like 1999, but
73 cents.
What?
Yes.
I thought it was like 39 cents.
No, a stamp is 73. I know. It's almost a buck. It's almost there. We can almost justify getting rid of all the change in the world that nobody carries anymore. Because
with today's math, it should just be a dollar.
Just round up to a buck. Yeah, why not? So the price is going to go up in July.
What?
And then it's going to go up in January, and then again in July, and then again in January, and again in July. The Postal Service on Thursday announced their plan to raise the cost of first-class stamp 5 more times before the end of 2027. Well, don't raise the price. Just make it a sliding calculation where, you know, you just whiz up a little thing on the internet and there's an algorithm that tells you the date and therefore the price of a stamp. And, you know, it's June. Okay, it's 84 cents, you know. So the number of individual letters sent in the last year has fallen by about half in the past decade. So business is down 50%. So obviously raise prices, you know, that's how you do. It's hard to justify because the Postal Service is, you know, on the one hand, you take it for granted. On the other hand, why do we have it? Anyway, what were you going
to
say, John?
Oh, I was just saying to drive more business, we drive the prices up, right?
Yeah, that's how that works, right? If you increase the price, obviously people will think of it as like a, you know, a more valuable commodity.
More premium service.
Okay, along those lines, though, and this is a story that I just hadn't had time to mention until I have right now, but, you know, the Mobile Bayway, they're going to rebuild that section of I-10 from, you know, Spanish Fort over to Mobile, and it's going to be, you know, extraordinarily expensive, a couple of $1 billion. The state doesn't have the money for it. They're getting federal money. There was a whole question of how they would even fund it, how long it's going to take, and because the existing Bayway is, you know, long-term, can't survive, but of course, a lot of bridges are long-term, can't survive, but we can still drive on them for a while. And the byproduct of that is going to cost you a toll. They're going to put a toll on I-10. And I have been pitching a fit about this for years and talking to every federal official I can about this. And it's something that still people don't know about. You didn't know this?
I didn't know they were going to put a toll.
Oh, yeah. You haven't even been on the show long enough to hear me rail about this. Yeah, they're going to put a toll on. They say at most it's going to be $2.50 for cars.
$2.50.
To go to Mobile, come back same, and then you're going to be able to buy a monthly pass, and they're going to have truck prices and all this kind of stuff, okay? So they say they have to toll it in order to, you know, fund it because they have no other way to fund it. It would, in my mind, that's the first time that an interstate wouldn't have options and you're going to put a toll on it. They say that the causeway is the alternative. That is, anyway, The new most amazing thing in this story is that the existing 2 and 2, the existing 4 lanes of I-10, they're not even going to leave that up as an option. They are going to deliberately tear down I-10, the parts that exist now, in order to make sure people go on the tollway, because otherwise they realize that not enough people will take the tollway and they won't be able to raise money to pay for the bridge. They're going to take a good thing out of existence to pay for the toll to fund the new bridge.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papahalene. Now a tropical storm, but for the first time since record keeping began in 1851, a Category 4 hurricane makes landfall in the Big Bend region of Florida.
The sun is going to come up and we're going to see catastrophic damage in some areas of Florida and towards Georgia, where they had a hurricane for most of the evening. Here are some of the top wind gusts in Georgia, 100 mile per hour winds in Alma.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean, east of Tallahassee, Interstate 10 at a standstill. Fox Weather's Marissa Torres is there.
We are in Madison County, a county that has 100% of outages for all the customers. You head east of Tallahassee, you run in through the Big Bend, the Nature Coast, waking up in the dark, significant damages, lots of downed trees on some of the interstates, but also a lot of the side highways.
At least 3 deaths attributed to the storm. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we have 68 degrees in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Helene now has the distinction of being the strongest hurricane in modern history to hit Florida's Big Bend region. Chief Financial Officer of the state, Jimmy Patronis, said they had to be extra prepared because of the uncertainty of the storm.
We brought about twice the number of personnel in place of urban search and rescue teams because of the size of this storm.
And in the most recent update, the National Hurricane Center downgraded Helene to a tropical storm after its landfall late last night, just to the southeast of Tallahassee. It did make landfall as a powerful Category 4 hurricane. Governor DeSantis warning residents not to let their guard down, even though the storm is moving on and now making its presence known in Georgia. Dozens of people safe thanks to rescue efforts in Pasco County last night. The sheriff's office said this morning that fire rescue saved about 40 people from rising water along the U.S. 19 corridor. Meanwhile, Pasco County has currently over 45,000 power outages. In Hillsborough County, they've got over 200,000 power outages. Pensacola police say they'll be working with the local homeless population as new state laws and a potential city of Pensacola ordinance that could ban camping in public and private properties could potentially go into effect by next year.
We have community response specialists. We have 4 officers that work downtown on top of that that go and talk to these people on a daily basis and try to find out what the core of the problem is and look for long-term solutions. So since that program has been in effect, we've had we've helped a lot of people. Some of them even have left town and reconnected with their families because of the work that community response specialists are doing.
PPD spokesman Mike Wood, he says one problem is that sometimes people just don't want help for various reasons. He says sometimes that's because people may not want to go to shelters where they have to follow rules such as not using drugs or alcohol. A state law that bans public camping goes into effect next month. Pensacola working on a city ordinance that would potentially ban camping on commercial or private residences without permission. And it is 5:34 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a nicer feel out there today. Temperatures near 65 degrees for your morning low. As you head into the rest of the day, we'll be around 84 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies with a breeze. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. We're going to keep the sunny skies around on Saturday with a high near 85 and a low near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we do have 68 degrees in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, and it is 67 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Southwest Airlines announced a 3-year plan to revitalize its operations and customer offerings. New announcements include a $2.5 billion share buyback program, vacation travel packages, partnerships with international airlines, and more. Southwest shares closed more than 5% higher. The Department of Agriculture has announced all of Boar's Head processing plants nationwide are now part of an ongoing investigation. This news comes after a deadly listeria outbreak linked to now recalled deli meats resulted in at least 59 hospitalizations and 10 deaths. Boar's Head has also shuttered its Virginia plant, the source of the outbreak. Appaloosa Management's David Tepper said the Fed must cut rates at least 2 to 3 more times to keep credibility. The Fed last week sliced a half a percentage point off benchmark rates, starting its first easing campaign in 4 years. Futures are slightly lower ahead of inflation data. That's Your Money Now.
Boogie Incorporated, the Gulf Coast leader in DJ entertainment, is celebrating their 45th year.
And they're just getting started.
If you're planning a wedding, employee party, class reunion, school dance, or an outdoor event or festival, why not use the best for less? Call Boogie Incorporated at 850-438-1660.
That's 850-438-1660.
Or go to BoogieInc.com.
Remember, wherever Boogie goes, a party is bound to follow.
Did you know Pensacola's hidden gem is powering the future? The Port of Pensacola isn't just a name. It's an economic engine driving our region's success. Home to over 20 powerhouse companies like C-Mex Materials, General Electric, Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. This port is fueling growth and prosperity every day. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the backbone of Northwest Florida's economy. Discover how it's shaping our future at portofpensacola.com.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Seafood Festival time presented by Fiesta Pensacola. Enjoy the arts and crafts, fantastic music, and of course, the seafood. Friday through Sunday in Seville Square. See PensacolaSeafoodFestival.com. Enjoy our national parks, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, Fort Pickens, and Johnson's Beach with no fee Saturday during National Public Lands Day. Check out VisitPensacola.com for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate 5-day forecast. This is Chris Bryant along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, we've been having a conversation this week about this proposed camping, anti-camping ordinance in the city of Pensacola. Remember, the state bans camping in public areas starting on Tuesday, and the city proposed ordinance would also ban it on commercial property, period, and on private property, unless you have the permission of the property owner. You would not be able to camp even on private property, and then enforcement would come along with that. This is designed to put teeth into the ordinance and also give, you know, the Pensacola Police the opportunity to actually do something. City Council did not meet last night. They canceled the meeting, so we did not hear the ordinance for the first time yet. That'll be pushed back to the next meeting. But still, we've been having a conversation with First Mayor D.C. Reeves on Wednesday about this, and yesterday, a good conversation with Mike Wood from PPD about this as well. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have officers who are preparing, if called, to go eastward after the storm?
Absolutely. That's been planned here for about a week or so. We do have people or officers that will be deployed if needed, but we will sit back and wait until we're asked to go.
That's a, don't rush in, just wait until you're asked, but always say yes if you do get asked, right?
Yeah, it's just it's a waste of resources to go over there without being asked, and then you don't have anything to do. I mean, it is possible to have too many people in some areas. So the best thing for us to do is sit back and wait until we're asked to go to a specific location to do a specific task.
Absolutely. I had a long conversation yesterday with the mayor about this proposed camping ban, camping ordinance in Pensacola that, to my reading eyes, goes quite a bit farther than the statewide ordinance that, you know, doesn't have a lot of enforcement elements to it. It's kind of an unenforced mandate. But, you know, I have a lot of questions about this. But is that how PPD is looking at this ordinance, is we just need to have rules so that we know what we're supposed to do with people who are sleeping where they shouldn't be sleeping, or are, you know, in places where they don't need to be?
Yeah, that's what it is. It gives us a little more teeth to use should we need it, but it's important to understand that most of the time the people, the homeless that we deal with are not wanting to give us a hard time. If they're asked to move along, they do that. But this ordinance will come into effect for those who just have no interest in doing the right thing, have no interest in moving, and just want to give folks a hard time, whether it be law enforcement, citizens, or business owners. So that's going to help us with what we need in order to get our jobs done to fix those situations. And at the same time, you know, we have community response specialists. We have four officers that work downtown on top of that that go and talk to these people on a daily basis and try to find out what the core of the problem is and look for long-term solutions. So since that program has been in effect, we've had we've helped a lot of people. Some of them even have left town and reconnected with their families because of the work that the community response specialists are doing.
No, I think that's wonderful work. Questions that I have about how this ordinance, proposed ordinance in the city might work ultimately. One is, and this also applies in general to what the state has done, do you feel like you have a place to take people? You know, when you have to remove somebody, let's say if you have to remove them, or, you know, you're offering to take them, whatever, they're sleeping in one of the parks, okay, or they're sleeping on Palafox or something like this, and you need to move them, do you feel like you have a place where you can take them? Because that's one of the problems is, you know, where do they go to? If they can't go here, where can they go?
Yes, we do. We have shelters, and we have plenty of them. We have people that are ready for that. But the problem, Andrew, is that some of them just do not want anything to do with going to a shelter,
right,
or an organization that will help them. Because in order to stay there, you have to follow rules.
Right.
And no drugs, no alcohol, and things like that. So some of them have no interest in being taken to a place where they can get help.
You know, I thought it was the most interesting thing. I went on a tour of Waterfront Rescue Mission just this week, and I haven't talked about it just yet because we've been occupied with other things. But one of the most interesting things I noticed is that right across the street from Waterfront Rescue Mission, there were, I don't know, 10 or 15 people either in various phases of congregating or sleeping on the sidewalk or something like this. And I asked, I said, what is that? And I was told, well, some people want to smoke. And so they go across the street to smoke and hang out. And some people don't want the rules and the structure. And so, I mean, which is, you know, the problem is, what do you do with those people? And for people who do not want to or do not qualify for or not eligible for the shelter, do you have a place to take them?
Well, you know, unfortunately, no. Unless it's a situation to where they're in a danger to themselves or someone else, then a Baker Act would kick in. But,
sure.
Yeah, there's a gray area there to where we – you know, you can't force them to go. So it's every individual, every situation that we come upon has to be dealt with on its own, because they're all different. So when the officers respond, when the community response specialists respond to each situation, we have to take into account all the circumstances and make a decision on what to do at that point.
Well, you say you can't force them to go, but the ordinance says you can't let them camp. I mean, the statewide one says you can't let them camp, right? And this one says that they, you know, they have to, it's a fine, $50 the first day, and I think $500 the second day. If they're, like, it says preparing a sleeping bag or other material for bedding to be used as a living accommodation, like, you know, you can't just leave them, right?
Right. Well, the first offense, it's a civil penalty. A civil citation is issued. After that, then it can become criminal. It can go up to $500 and go to jail if it has to go that far.
Okay.
But our purpose out there is to try to make it not go that far. We don't want to have to do that, and we want to be able to help them find other alternatives than just having to put somebody in jail for something like that. That's the ordinance is giving us opportunity, or giving them opportunity to do that. And hopefully we won't have to take it that far.
We're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. I definitely want to talk about the car sleeping question because that was a big conversation topic yesterday. One part of the proposed ordinance in the city would be that you cannot stay on a private residence without authorization from the owner. Another part is that you cannot camp on commercial property. That nobody can allow you to do that either. Does this give you enough clarity that you can deal with people who are camping, let's say, on a closed building or a vacant property or, you know, an abandoned house? Or these are the kind of situations I'm assuming you deal with quite a bit. Does this give you the authority and the guidance you need to deal with those situations?
Well, it can. And the reason I say that is because each situation is different. If you just lost your job and were kicked out of your apartment or your home, especially if you have kids, we're going to get help from them. Even if you don't have kids, you may be down on your luck for a night or a night or two. But there's a clear difference to us when you're down on your luck and you're there a night or two versus being there for 2 weeks and there's garbage starting to collect around your vehicle. So there's a big difference right there, and each situation has to be dealt with on its own.
Yeah, and that's the clarification I wanted to be sure to mention today is I talked a bunch yesterday with the mayor about things like, you know, the camping at the Walmart or camping at, say, you know, Bartram Park or something like that. And, you know, sleeping in your car. Okay, is clearly prohibited in this ordinance, but there's a subsequent section that says those activities constitute camping. I'm just reading from it. When it reasonably appears to a law enforcement or a code enforcement officer that in light of all the circumstances, the participants in conducting the activity or activities are in fact using the area as a temporary living accommodation, regardless of the intent of the participants or the nature of any other activities in which they may also be engaging. I think of, you know, what do they call them? The van life people, you know, who travel around and sleep in parking lots. Or I think of truckers, you know, like the Walmart parking lot or travelers. Or I think of the mom with a daughter or a son or two that flee domestic violence and don't have anywhere to go tonight, but they can't stay there and they sleep in their car somewhere. What will the PPD response to this be?
Well, again, it depends on the situation. Like you said, if somebody has no place to go, fleeing from domestic violence, we're obviously compassionate to that, and we will work with that. But if there's somebody clearly trying to take advantage of the system or the situation or the location that they're at, we will deal with that as well. The first thing we're going to do is get a hold of the property owner and make sure that they have not granted them permission, because we're going to hear that a lot, that I have permission to be here. They don't have it in writing. So it's up to us to try to find that out. But if it's obvious that they're taking advantage of the situation, again, with trash and debris around their car, then we use other means to take care of that situation.
Yeah, and I do have a concern, because I've heard from law enforcement officers that one of the challenges is exactly the claim that they have permission, and then establishing that they do, and even finding the owner of the property sometimes is a challenge. Right now, it won't apply in commercial situations because this prohibits all camping on commercial. But if it's a private lot or house or something like that, it's a challenge to figure out whether they do or do not actually have permission, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, every piece of land has an owner. And again, we have officers that have the time and the dedication and knowledge to go and find out who these people are and try to make contact with them and see what the situation is. And more times than not, once we make contact with them, they do not have permission to be there. And then we have to deal with it that way in order, you know, to get them to move along.
All right. I just want to give you a last chance, because I knew we would talk about this a little bit more extensively this morning. Is there anything I didn't ask or anything that you want to add that, you know, to help people understand either what this proposed ordinance would mean for PPD and for people who are camping and or homeless? Or, I mean, just anything I didn't ask you about this that you want to comment on?
Well, we just want to make sure everyone knows, you know, first of all, it's got to get passed. And then if it does, that we are not going to go down there swinging a hammer. We are compassionate. We want to help people, and we don't want to go down there heavy-handed and just start kicking people out of everywhere. You know, we certainly understand that people have situations that they cannot help, but we are also sympathetic to the citizens that walk along Palafox, to the business owners that own businesses downtown and other places in the city, and we need to take care of them as well.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think a lot of the application of this is going to be, of course, to long-term people staying in cars and properties where they shouldn't be, but also, you know, camping on Palafox is not going to be allowed, and this starts to create a framework within which you can, you know, enforce that, which the state is requiring you to be able to enforce that too. So there's a lot of dimensions to this problem. Mike Wood, last thing we always like to ask is, do you have a cop myth or a did you know for us this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with the storm coming up. And I was asked this week, what do you guys do in a storm when you're told to get off the street? Because I believe it's 40, 45 miles an hour, the chief of police will decide to pull everybody off the street. And he was asking me, do you all sit at the police department and play checkers during the storm? And the answer to that is absolutely not. We have officers that are going to be stationed in various locations throughout the city, shelters, fire departments, the airport, other places. And when calls come in to 911 dispatch, they are going to prioritize those calls. Obviously, we cannot respond during the storm, but as soon as the wind lets up and as soon as the command staff feels like it's safe for us to go out, we will start hitting those priority one calls. And so we're making decisions on who is closest, who will be able to, who has the equipment to get there and get that done and execute that plan once the storm passes. So we are very busy during the storm, even though that we're not out on the street. We've got a lot going on and a lot to plan for in the hours ahead.
Well, you know, strategizing so you can most effectively respond when the storm passes enough that you can get out on the streets is essential. I personally will never begrudge you a donut, a cup of coffee, a game of checkers or chess, a little bit of self-care, especially for an extended period of time when all you can do is sit and watch how you can't do anything. Can be pretty stressful for first responders. So you guys take care of yourselves, and I know that you will. Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the PPD, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for talking with me and our audience. I certainly appreciate what you all do for us.
My pleasure, sir.
Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And, you know, if you're thinking about selling a home or, you know, when you decide to sell, it's still a good thing to figure out who's your real estate agent going to be, right? And you want somebody who's going to take good care of you. As I was listening to Christina Leavenworth yesterday on Pep Talk talk about, you know, getting you all the way through to the sale, like, you know, or to the closing. I mean, a lot of times, you know, it's just that last little bit, right? You know, it's like in the red zone, last five yards can be the hardest one to accomplish. And that's why it takes good experience to make sure that you get everything done. They sold 175 homes last year, 120 plus so far this year, so on track to do about the same amount of volume again this year. And, you know, it's all kinds of little things. Even, you know, sometimes the buyers put up objections late and, you know, you have to solve that. I know one time she was telling me a story about fixing nail holes in a house that was going to close the next morning at like 9 o'clock the night before. Why? Because she does. Whatever needs to be done, she'll get it done so that you get your home sold. Or if you're buying, same kind of thing. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Lighten up, Francis.
Good morning, 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Yeah, okay, it's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. More than a million people without power right now in Florida after Helene making landfall last night. That's according to poweroutage.us. And the total, overall total for power outages across the southeast is at more than 2 million right now. Just crazy damage from that storm last night. The one-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attacks against Israel coming up in just a little over a week. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's in New York City today. He'll be addressing the UN General Assembly. And the International Longshoremen's Association now threatening to go on strike unless they get a new contract. Analysts say that could be the most disruptive walkout to the U.S. economy in decades.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Who was the organization one more time? Longshoremen? Is that what you
said? Yeah, the Longshoremen's Association.
Oh, people work in the ports. How could that affect the U.S. economy?
Not at all, right? Yeah.
What do they even do? I mean, all they do is sit around and conspire about how to commit, you know, crimes. That's what I learned from The Wire, right? They're not even really working all the time. They're just trying to shuffle things around and make – they don't get, you know, these containers off or, you know, they don't do any actual
work. If it was
work.
On The Wire, I believe.
Oh, man. Longshoreman strike. Awesome. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. If you have a project you need to work on, you have to fix something, you're remodeling it yourself or doing an improvement, or you build things for a living, anywhere along that spectrum, Pensacola Hardware, they can take care of you. They have been helping people do this since 1851. Like, that is an, you know, I say that, and you, it's an amazing thing. Since before the Civil War, Pensacola Hardware has been there, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola. You know, when you walk around town, you see a building, it's 100 years old, they help build that. I mean, almost certainly. You know, I sometimes think in my head they ought to make a Pensacola Hardware app so that you could, as you're walking, that building, you know, so you could really get a sense of all the stuff they've done. And it's because, you know, obviously they're there for people like, you know, me, who rarely need hardware, but they're also there for you if you build things for a living. That's their bread and butter, contractors and builders, because they can bring stuff out to your job site, put you on a monthly bill, you know, so you don't have to send Jimmy with the credit card down to buy something. They're never going to have to order something for you. They'll have it in stock because they know what you're going to need, because they help so many contractors do stuff that they really know. And, you know, they can give you great advice when you run into a problem. They're like your backup resource, your tech help or whatever, that you can contact them. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know how to fix this. Well, they probably know because they've probably seen it before. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, one of the 50 oldest companies in the whole U.S., the oldest in the entire state of Florida. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Brunch and Bubbles, benefiting the Gulf Coast Kids House, comes up Sunday, October 27th at Portofino. Wonderful event, Havana-themed. And you can get tickets now. Go to newsradio923.com for more information. Bands on the Beach every Tuesday. Coming up next Tuesday, we're going to have Blind Mullets Band. October the 1st, always a good show, 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Have a good time at that. Seafood Festival is on. You know, we were worried that the Seafood Festival might have impacts from the hurricane, but of course not. Starting today through Sunday, you can go downtown and have some seafood and see some vendors. And by the way, now that the hurricane passed, the temperature might be reasonable today. It's actually, what is it, like 70 degrees out right now? It's a reasonable fall day. Also, Shred-a-thon is coming up. That is going to be on 8 to 11 on the 5th of October. So that's next Saturday at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Bring in anything that you need to have shredded. They do a ton of shredding at the Shred-a-thon. Each car is limited to 50 pounds. That's about two boxes or two significant bags of things. At 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3. What was the other thing I was going to mention to you? We'll get to this one a little bit later, but did you see the A's had their last home game? And as you might not be surprised to hear, there were some unruly fans as, you know, the A's are leaving Oakland for sunny Sacramento. It's always sunny in Sacramento. And then after two or three years, they're going to go to, you know, actually their new home in Las Vegas. But people were, there was, let's see, there were streakers, there was a smoke bomb, and there were beer bottles or beer cans.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.